Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening to all our listeners. You are listening to the George Foster Diamond Report, where all bases are covered. And as you know, we have a very great, insightful evening tonight. Lots and lots to talk about. Hello, Coach Foster.
Good evening, everybody. I hope you had a great Sunday.
Yes, indeed. I hope everyone has a great Sunday. We're coming, of course. Summer is here, and the first day of summer, of course, is technically June 21st, but it certainly feels like summer has already set in stone, and we certainly feel it at these baseball games. Before we get into our topic this evening, we all have our segment, of course, to see what's going on in the MLB news around the nation behind the bench. Lots has happened since our show last week. First, let's get into an occurrence that just happened. Spoke about this before, and how to prevent injury when catching a ball, diving, and, you know, there's specific techniques that one should go through when catching those balls. And you want to make sure that you stay healthy because you have the entire season to go to. We're talking about Dodgers center fielder who had a hard fall. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you got to try to stay on balance when you're out there, knowing where you are. You're running to these walls in that sun. I know some say the foremost is catching the ball, but you got to learn how to catch the ball and avoid running directly into the wall. And it's an art that you need to work on, say maybe doing batting practice or just fielding practice to be able to be prepared for that. But in his case, they have the warning track, and yes, it doesn't help a whole lot, but you got to practice on how to roll along that wall to avoid direct contact.
And, of course, you can speak upon this personally. How did you prepare? Like, did you do practices with fly balls going up against the wall and making sure that you don't injure yourself?
Well, during batting practice, we have the outfield coach hitting those fly balls, ground balls, so you knowing how the ball is going to carry them off the wall and knowing how the ball is going to like in Boston, how it's going to come off the wall. So you just have to read it and knowing that, okay, if it's over your head, being able to catch it in a way that you're going to be able to create less impact when you hit that wall. And then if you hit the wall, make sure you're going to hit the wall with your back, or because it has stronger muscles compared to face first. You can easily mess up break a nose or elbow, or because you're running face first into that wall, but learning to hit the wall if you do hit it with great impact with your back.
That's certainly great information, especially for those who are in the college level or even in the high school level, and start practicing that routine right now. And if they progress all the way to the pro level, they'll already have it down packed. What about the sliding or the diving? How did you prepare for that?
Well, I hardly ever would dive for a ball. I try to avoid dive for the ball. But most of these guys now, they have it down pat, being able to slide feet first to get the ball. and I'm finding that it's less chance of getting injured. But when you dive for the ball, you have a chance of breaking a hand or messing up an elbow or messing up a shoulder. But I found most guys now, if they're going to go for the ball and leave their feet, they're going to go feet first like they're sliding into a base. And I found that's more successful and less chance of getting hurt.
Yeah, certainly true. And I hope the young athletes out there are writing notes and taking mental tips. Our next highlight is speaking about rumors. Well, first of all, what advice would you give a player on when they know that they're going to change teams and getting prepared for that and speaking to coaches and their agents? How do you deal with rumors or leaks that may come out? Because it's already a lot to deal with if you're thinking about leaving the team, but how do you deal with rumors, leave a rumor with the Reds?
Well, it's part of the game. It's a business, and you got to understand that as long as you're in the game, there's a chance of you getting traded or released or you become a free agent. So it's making that adjustment. And if you still want to play the game, you've got to make that adjustment to go to another ball club. It's seldom that a player today will stay with the same ball club his whole career. It was more common when we played, but now guys are going from after maybe 6 years at the most, going from one club to the other because they become a free agent or to get traded. Free agency because the club that they were with didn't want to pay the big salary, so they end up becoming a free agent to go to another ball club. But it's part of the business, and you just have to make the adjustment and try to prepare yourself as much as possible to go to a new team and new city.
And do you think loyalty still is pertinent to this day and age? Or, like you said, it's a business nowadays, but would that athlete go down in history as one being loyal and have a better advantage or just a better career if they stay with one team? One example would be there's a football player, Russell Wilson, who decides to take because they know that they didn't have that much, but in the end, he'll negotiate it later in the end. But should they think about the organization first or think about themselves?
Well, I would encourage them to think about themselves because once their career is over, yeah, literally it's over. But some guys who maybe are promised a front office job after they finish playing, but most of the guys are not going to be given a front office position. So it's get your money while you can because there's no guarantee how long you're going to play. And that loyalty, there's no value. As far as loyalty, you can't spend that. There's no dollar value as far as loyalty. And it's a business, and if you're a product that the ball club feel they can trade you away or release you, or it's more so in football. You know, these guys have multi-year contracts, but it's not guaranteed like in baseball. So the Yankees, the Dodgers, they're great in bringing their players. If you've done a good job with that organization, they're giving you a front office position or position in their organization, but most ball clubs don't.
That's certainly true. Moving on to our next topic, releasing one's emotion. When we'll speak upon it personally, if you had any instances, but in regards to what just occurred right now, when do you hold in your emotions and when is it appropriate or if it even is a time when you can just let your emotions out, specifically speaking upon one of the relievers, pitching relievers, who was angry with the decision that was made from the Phillies, Ken Giles, and he got into it with his coach. Is there a time to hold back and have that discussion behind the scenes, or just when it's in the moment, you just let it happen and then apologize after?
Well, it's best to be able to hold those emotions in until after, say, after the game or in the dugout or you're not attracting a lot of attention. But that's something that you need to be able to control, and that's going to help you as a player being able to control your emotion, because you find that I remember there are certain guys that they would throw at that individual, he would get upset. So the rest of the game, you know, he's no good for his team the rest of the game because he's upset with the opposing team. So you got to control your emotions when you're out there. It's going to be to your – once you lose control, then you get angry and you're not as relaxed and you're not able to focus as much. So strive to talk it out later on in a calm fashion.
Yeah, certainly. I agree. That's definitely a better road to take. And our last topic behind the bench, A-Rod continuing to break records, another milestone is the 2000th RBI. When you're on this level, what mentality are you in? And when you're continuing to succeed, continuing to break records, how do you get into that zone and that mindset without peaking?
Well, it's incredible the things that he had done, but I know the situation about the steroids really tarnish whatever he's doing now, because I look at the fact that how many years did he play under the influence of steroids, and so it's like you're discounting whatever stats that he does has compiled, and now he's somewhat playing on his own, but it's still a great feat to be able to go out there and compile 2,000-plus RBIs. You're getting in the category of a Hank Aaron. I mean, he has the American League record as far as RBIs, and so now he's approaching three to four seasons to be able to surpass Hank Aaron. But he's putting up big numbers, but he's not getting a lot of publicity about it because there's still that talk about steroids.
Right, exactly. That's sort of a touchy area, but he's definitely having great accomplishments. Now to the segment of our main topic for the show this evening, how one faces, whether you're in the college level, whether you're on the collegiate level, professional level, or even in your junior years, how do you compete against a team, your former team? How do you mentally set up for that? Because you're preparing a different way than your own teammates are preparing, because you not only, A, know the coaches and the players on the opposing team, but also had relationships and bonding with that team, whether it was good or bad. And so you sort of have to mentally engage yourself in a different way. So how was it when you faced a team that you formerly played on?
Well, I find they haven't come up with any numbers, but I believe that a guy probably does much better against a team that just traded him or released him or some capacity. He's going to want to have that revenge in mind. He has a vendetta to prove to that team they made a mistake, and he want to be instrumental in beating that ball club. Because I know when I would play the Dodgers or play the Giants, I want to do well all the time, but especially against those ball clubs, because that's a reminder to those teams that you didn't give me an opportunity, or you felt that I wouldn't help your ball club. So you want to be able to go out there and do extra well against those clubs.
Exactly. And when you went out there, do you not take it personally and just think about the team, or –
Well, you take it personal, but you still got to be under control. You don't want to go out there and overdo it, but just once again be calm and relaxed. But in key situations, you want to be at your best to be able to, if it's a drive in a run or make a catch or make a certain throw or make in running the bases, taking that extra base. But you want to do something that's going to stand out, and so that it feels that you were very instrumental in helping your ball club to beat your former team. Because I remember when I was traded from the Giants to the Reds, my first time coming back to play against the Giants, I hit a grand slam. And so then now they were calling me a giant killer. And today they were saying that this is the worst trade they have made was when I was traded from the Giants to the Reds. But it's good to hear knowing that the Giant fans at this still this time in they were talking about the fact that the trade that let me get away, but it turned out to be great for me to get a chance to go to the Reds, play in warm weather, and be involved with two world championships.
Exactly. It turned out definitely in your favor. And specifically speaking about what happened with Matt Kemp playing against the Dodgers, he had to step it up as well, right?
Yeah, he stepped it up. And sometimes the opposing team, they want to do well against you or having the pitchers to get you out so that now it proves to the fans that they made a good move in letting you go. But they don't want to pitch around you because now they feel that they're afraid of you. But in Matt Kemp's case, he's done well against the Giants. But he's a guy that I love to work with because his, you know, guys got to make adjustments. He hasn't made a lot of adjustments in the swing. And once he makes that adjustment, he's going to be dominating like he had been with the Dodgers.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, those adjustments, especially in the middle of your career, sometimes people are afraid to make changes, regardless of whether what they're doing is working or not. It's just being comfortable and getting out of that comfort zone is scary for some people.
It is, and if you have to trust the individual who you're talking to, and then understanding that good hitters make adjustments. Look at batters, they don't make adjustments. That's why their batting average is low. But good hitters make adjustments. That's how, like A-Rod, he makes adjustments. If they pitched him one way and he wasn't successful, he made that adjustment. And that's to be successful in whatever you do in life, you got to make the adjustment.
Certainly true. And can you specifically give our audience or athletes or aspiring athletes on tactics in which they can use for pregame mental rituals or routine? A lot of the sports that now are in their championship mode, finals, the college baseball and basketball. And we talked about this in our prior shows about maintaining that same consistency, not changing your routine. But what about for those who haven't established the routine yet, who are still in the beginning of that career?
I usually advise athletes that being able to do something that's going to relax you. And I found that listening to music helps you to relax and help you to focus on what you need to do, what's ahead. And if it's whatever music that you do like, it just takes you to this place that you can really focus on what you're going to be confronted with later on. And also it helps you to relax. So when you go focus better. So when you go out on that field, you're more prepared mentally. There are three factors in becoming a good or great player. It's not only mechanical and the physical, but the mental part. So what are you doing mentally to get yourself ready for a ball game? You got to be able to relax when you go out there. You got to be able to focus. In baseball, focus on the release point, watching the ball coming up there. Defense, you got to be able to focus on seeing the ball. Just being able to relax, you're going to be quicker out there. If you're not relaxed, you're too tight. So my advice is usually listen to music or doing something that relaxes you.
Yeah, relaxation definitely is key. And you said it a lot as well. A lot of coaches talk about visualization, but visualization is also a practice. So some people can't really get to the point where, how do I see myself doing something? How do I start to get to that point?
Well, visualization is really professional or the word in place of daydreaming. When you daydream, you just relax, you let your mind just soar and being able to go out there and gather information. So daydream, just thinking about seeing yourself at the plate, seeing yourself in the outfield, seeing yourself on the pitching mound. So the visualization is being able to do it creatively, and that's the key. Be able to have that creativity with your visual. That's what visualization is. It's taking the daydreaming and then being able to fine-tune it. And once you start to be able to visualize yourself, seeing yourself in a spot that you're not physically there, but you're mentally there. So when you do get there physically, you already know what's going to transpire. And sometimes it's scary because you're feeling that, okay, you see yourself at the plate, and then now when the game actually starts, you already played the game in your mind. So you already played the game in your mind, so now you're prepared for whatever situation you're going to be confronted with.
That's certainly very important. And if you're just tuning in on George Foster Diamond Report every Sunday at 9:30, we're talking about how to face the team that you have formerly played on, how to have a game plan on what to do against them, because you're preparing differently from your teammates. You said rising to the occasion, having that game plan, preparation, and being able to adapt. Now we're at the segment of the show when we hear Coach Foster's Catalyst Player of the Week. Who would you think would be the Catalyst Player of the Week this week?
There were two Catalyst players. One is Joey Votto with the Cincinnati Reds. He had 3 home runs in 1 game. The other one is Max Scherzer with the Nats. He ended up having a one-hitter in the game. He struck out, I think, 18 guys, and that was second as far as the franchise was concerned. So he pitched a gem for the Nationals.
Exactly. It was definitely true. And any highlight plays that you thought particularly stuck out to you?
Well, Jason Hayward made a great play to help the Cardinals beat the Royals 3-2. I mean, here's a guy, he's great defensively. His bat hasn't really come around yet, but defensively making a great play. So that was a key play that he made to help the Cardinals beat the Royals.
Those are great plays to think of, and using those situations and replicating or visualizing yourself if you're in that level or even younger to try to have that play. And now we're coming to the George Foster wrap-up of the game for today as well as this weekend. Any games that particularly you're surprised about, the wins or the losses?
Well, it was more of the team itself. Toronto Blue Jays have won 11 straight, and that's ties franchise history. And they're on a roll right now. They've gone from probably last place to like a game and a half out of first place. They're very streaky as it is, but to win 11 games, that really cuts down a lot of games that you were behind. So hats off to the Toronto Blue Jays for being on this hot streak, and it's they're forging ahead. And with other teams starting to not play as well, I know the Astros won today, but the teams like the Blue Jays are starting to get closer to at least being in a wild card bid, maybe winning their division.
Yeah, that's certainly true. A big step for them. And was this a team that you heard about or saw any games in spring training that you felt like they may make an impact in the league? Or were there any other teams that were sort of not under the radar that have come out right now during spring training?
Well, the Astros, they weren't under the radar, and the Twins weren't expected to do it, the things that they're doing. But the Blue Jays, they were expected because with the power bats that they have in their lineup, it's just they got off to a slow start. But now they're starting to – this is a sign of a good ball club when you start to get hot around in June, July, And that shows that they have that stamina, they have that intestinal fortitude to go out there and play hard, not letting early in the season bother them. But other clubs, they don't have what you call the horses or the guys to be able to go in there who have that stamina and have that determination to go out there and play hard.
And that's certainly true. And would you advise any of the audience, our audience, any players to sort of look out for and who you feel like is going to shine and unexpectedly in the end?
Well, it's not really maybe unexpectedly, but he's getting healthy again, McCutchen, with the Pirates, and that's why the Pirates started to take off, because he started to hit the
right.
His knee had been bothering him, so now I guess it's much better or close to being healed, but he's able to go out there and hit the ball better, because you need your legs when you hit, and in his case he's not only fast, but he's a good defensive player, so he needs his legs, and then he drives the ball real well from the plate standpoint. But when your legs are bothering you, it's going to be tough to be able to swing the bat as you had in the past.
Exactly. You certainly need those legs. Now we're going back into the George Foster report wrap-up of the game. The Cincinnati currently are playing Chicago Cubs. They are up, and they are in the top of the sixth right now. The final score for the Mets against the Atlanta Braves, they beat the Braves 10-8. The final score for Colorado, they came out with a W against Miami. Tampa Bay came out with a W as well against Chicago. White Sox 2-1. Baltimore fell to the New York Yankees 5-3. Toronto came out with a big win, as you said, 13-5 against Boston. They lost to Pittsburgh 1-0. The final score for Seattle, they came out with a big W against Houston 13-0. The Washington Nationals came out with a win against Milwaukee 4-0. And the Kansas City game was postponed against St. Louis. The final score for Minnesota, they came out with a W, 4-3 against Texas. The Angels fell to Oakland, 8-1. Arizona came out with a W against San Francisco, 4-0. The final score for the Dodgers against Sandy, as we spoke before, San Diego, they came out with a W. The Dodgers came out with a W, 4-2. And as you know, this is a George Foster Diamond Report every Sunday at 9:30. Feel free to call in 347-539-5397. Tonight was a very, as always, and so, we learned about having that preparation, that visualization, and also being prepared mentally as well. And not being afraid to adaptions may get you to the next level. Coach
Right, Foster, try to make adjustments and not excuses.
Exactly. So thank you again for listening. We have certainly covered all bases tonight, and it's about the development, strength, and the drive of an athlete. Have a great evening.
Good night, everybody.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Suarez after it. He leaps. It's over his head against the wall. Here comes Gilliam scoring. Brooklyn wins. Jackie Robinson is being pummeled by his teammates.
Mm-hmm.